This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, I got Jason Lock and four Odyssey NFL Insider about to join us momentarily. I want to get back to the phones while we effort to get Jason. 1-800-636-1067. If you're just now joining us, what we've been discussing, based off of the way this team has played, let's just look at Sunday for an example. What is more likely right now than missing the playoffs and winning a playoff team? And then if you want to really get spicy, your biggest concern or your bigger concern, defensive woes of the help of this skill group. Let's go to Justin out in Stafford. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you would have talked to me right after the game on Sunday, I probably would have said, man, no playoffs. I don't even want to see him in there. But, you know, after being so depleted, yeah, you know, on offense, I think it's going to be hard to score on some of these teams, especially the good playoff ones with these defenses, man. We're going to have our defense hold up. I'd say they're definitely, with the injuries, more looking at missing it than making it. And then, you know, I also see with everybody with this, we're just going to beat Dallas stuff. I didn't think we were going to have it easy against Dallas. They're a good team having a bad season. Yeah. So I got two things here I'll just add. I think they need to make it this year to put one in the bank because, for one, what a bummer it would be to see Michael Penix and Bo Nix in the playoffs and no Jaden Daniels. And two, I'm looking at next year's schedule, man. And you know Dallas is going to be back. You know, Philly's going to be back. Giants probably better. We got the AFC West. We got the NFC North. And we're going to have some – man, it's going to be a gauntlet next year. So,
for sure,
man, I really think, for good faith, man, put one in the bank. Don't collapse. Let's get this thing. Because if they don't get it, that means that Atlanta probably beat us.
And that would be ugly. And I'll say this about the Atlanta game. I became a lot more nervous about the Atlanta game when Michael Penix was announced as the starter. I mean, this team had been able to stop the run all year long. Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier already worry me. You add a legitimate quarterback to the fold, and it's going to be interesting next Sunday night in Landover. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline where we find Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockett. For he is the host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayo. Mayo game day be delicious. JLC, what's going on, my brother? How you doing? Appreciate you giving us some time.
My pleasure. How are you guys? Exciting times in D.C., man, huh?
Stadium, man, exciting is an understatement. I will say this, though. I can tell, Jason, it is a fan base that has not, you know, felt success in a long time because there is some panic creeping in after the way they barely squeaked out the win Sunday against New Orleans. From the national perspective, JLC, how do you view the 2024 Washington Commanders, and which shot do you give them at upsetting a team in the NFC playoff field?
Well, it's a resounding success.
Yeah.
I mean, if the bottom were to fall out and they were to miss the playoffs, then obviously there'd be a certain sting in that. And, you know, that would color things. But, I mean, think about it. They or whomever is nitpicking a rookie quarterback, you know, who may be hitting the wall because it's, you know, a little different than any season he's ever played before. And the professional season's much longer than college or high school. And he's been banged up. And New Orleans isn't a great team, but that's a tough place to play.
Yes.
And they're desperate, and they've got an interim head coach who I think they want to play for. And they won the game.
They did win the game, you know, JLC. I will give you that. But the context that I'm trying to add, Spencer Rattler comes in and leads four straight scoring drives in the second half.
Not great.
Not great.
Not great, but This is an organization that has found ways to lose games in all kinds of ways.
For sure.
And you know, I could counter your standpoint by saying if the officials knew how to run the clock and they won by and they won by seven, and Rattler, for as much as he rallied them, was operating under normal NFL rules and not whatever the hell happened there, and he lost by a touchdown, you know, would people maybe be exhaling a little more?
Probably.
You know, as to what they can do in the playoffs, I don't know, and I don't want to say I don't care, because obviously people are invested in it and they care, but if they reach the playoffs and they get as much football out of this young man as it looks like they're going to get, they will have put themselves in a situation where it's going to be much more easily to identify where the holes still are and what needs to improve. Now, I'm not a big Cliff Kingsbury guy, and so, you know, if I'm a Commanders fan, I'm hoping the Bears or somebody really goes ahead and hires him as the head coach.
Wow.
Because I don't know, man. He's always given me pause. Like, I don't know that he's where it's at. I just don't. And I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't other things there that are going to have to improve.
For sure.
They're going to have to do well in the draft. They're going to have to, you know, be judicious with their free agent signings. But I don't think Dallas is anywhere close to really competing, and I don't think the Giants are anywhere close to competing. And they've jumped up a couple of tiers in my estimation. And that quarterback, if you keep him healthy and you coach him up a little bit, is going to have a chance to keep you in the playoff hunt a lot of years. So I don't know, man. I think they're in a pretty good place.
I would agree with you when you keep, you know, context involved here and take the 10,000-foot view. I mean, they are organizationally set up better than a lot of other teams, not just in the NFC, but in the entire National Football League, right? First time in my lifetime, JLC, that head coach, ownership, and GM are all on the same page. So I'm just happy for that. How they finish is going to be another conversation. In your neck of the woods, though, my friend, the Baltimore Ravens, huge game coming up Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know you do your local radio up on 105.3, the Fan up in B-More. You do a great job. I was checking you guys out the other afternoon. Where do things sit right now with Baltimore, like from the outsider looking in perspective, like, or I guess the inside perspective? How confident are they, do you think, in their abilities to go on a run here when you consider the way the past couple of weeks have gone here?
Well, thank you for the kind words. It's a little different around here. Yeah. Around here, you know, you don't start finding out whether people met expectations or not, or whether the season was a success or not. And honestly, until it involves either a Super Bowl or it doesn't. Like, that's just what it is. That's how it is. Everybody over there at the facility, they would call, you know, the castle. They know it. I mean, they get it. Lamar Jackson is, for my money, the MVP of this league. He's having his best season by far, and he's already won the award twice before. But he's going to be measured by what he does or doesn't do in the postseason, and he hasn't had any MVP games in the postseason, and he's had very few MVP moments. So that's, you know, I don't want to say this is all just a precursor and a prelude, and this game against the Steelers on Saturday is obviously huge, and if they're going to have a chance to win the division, they have to win that game. But, like, it really comes down to the second, third week of January and what happens then. And, you know, Mark Andrews is their all-time leader in touchdowns. He doesn't have any in the postseason. He doesn't have a good postseason game. He barely himself has any postseason moments. I mean, what he's most thought of in the postseason, unfortunately, is a ball that tipped off his hands in the first, you know, playoff game they played, or the only playoff game they played after the 2019 season that ended up getting picked off, and the game turned forever from that point on. Like, so that's what it is. And they're going to get into playoffs, and you know, we'll see. If Lamar could beat Pittsburgh this weekend and beat them, you know, handily, that would be a huge step, because they've had his number and they've had the Ravens' number. They've won 6 of the last 7 in Baltimore, and they've won 8 of the last 9 overall. So that would be obviously, you know, a telling sign if he was able to operate it the way he operates against most teams, against the Steelers. But even if they win that game, and even if they come back and win the division, they don't reach a Super Bowl, I don't think you're going to hear a whole lot of people saying, wow, what a great Ravens season.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I guess I don't even want to say unfortunately, Jason. Fortunately, that's the set of circumstances that exist in Baltimore. They've earned those expectations. Yep. We'll see how they ultimately finish out. I want to ask you one more Ravens-related question here because I'm trying to figure out whether or not Mike Tomlin was being facetious or not at the podium. Praise Dean Pease about, you know, the way this defense has looked since he's come back on as an advisor. Is that the Achilles heel of this football team right now, if there is one, JLC?
Well, I mean, they got destroyed against the Bengals now twice, and Dean Pease was here. He was definitely here for the second one. I'm trying to remember exactly when he came in. But regardless, if you go back now the last 5 weeks, they're number one in the NFL in yards per play. They were one of the worst teams in the NFL in opposer passer rating, whether they were in zone or whether they in man or were in man. They're a top five team in that regard over the last 5-6 weeks. They're a top five red zone defense. They're a top five third down defense. And they've been one of the best in the NFL, if not the best, stopping the run all year. The issues were the pass game. And no, they've improved in leaps and bounds. And they took Kyle Hamilton from being this sort of line of scrimmage chess piece, and they played him at free safety because they didn't have anybody else on the team who could play free safety. And they cut Eddie Jackson, and they put this kid, Ardarius Washington, as their box safety. And you know, as the complement to Hamilton when they are in too deep, and they're in too deep more than they were before. And that's worked wonders. And Trenton Simpson, they thought could replace Patrick Queen, and he could not come close to replacing Patrick Queen. They've divvied up the assignments next to Roquan Smith a lot differently the last month. That's been huge. They've improved exponentially defensively. The problems are the special teams are among the worst in the NFL. The kicker might be cooked,
which is shocking.
And they need to have, as I just talked about, the Lamar, Mark Andrews, the offensive wizardry that we've seen in the regular season. It needs to show up in the postseason.
Yeah. I agree 100%. As you mentioned, Baltimore going to be judged by how they perform in the month of January, and I think it's fair at that point. Joined right now by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Got to ask you, Jason, about the move that was made late last night. Penick said it at the podium today. He was at Costco getting a $1.50 hot dog, JLC, when he got the call that he was going to be the starter Sunday. What do you make of the situation in Atlanta and your confidence level that he could potentially lead this team on a playoff run as they're within a game of the South lead?
Well, I think it's a week or two too late, and I wrote at length about this at the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago and talking to, you know, people who I'm close with in this league who have dealt with this with veteran quarterbacks at the end, or you acquire a guy and you realize he's not what we thought we were getting. And, you know, people who've drafted a quarterback in the past and wondered how long he should sit. And everybody I talked to was in agreement that this version of Kirk Cousins is busted. Yeah. And it's not a fit in that offense. It's not a fit with Zach Robinson. He's been putting the pistol twice as much this season as he has his entire career combined. Now, again, I'm going to put that in perspective for you because the guy came into the league in 2012.
Right.
He, as of 2 weeks ago, he had already had like 107 snaps in the pistol. And the first, whatever, 12 years of his career, he had like 52. So, like, if that's – and they're not using him under center in play action at all. And I think he had a career passer rating of like 118 under center play action. Yeah. So they weren't doing any of that. And – they weren't getting anything out of the run game by putting him in the pistol because he's not a run threat. Yet they continued to do that, whereas Michael Penix would obviously force you to defend them completely differently. So he looked to be more of an arm thrower. I think the Achilles is a problem. All the time he missed this summer, he never really looked comfortable throwing to Kyle Pitts. He did for a while with Drake London, but it just wasn't working. And it hadn't been working for a while, and I think at the worst, Penix should have started the Raiders game. Now, they won anyway, so I guess you could say no harm, no foul. I would have benched him after the Chargers game. A lot of people I talked to in the league would have benched him after the Chargers game. It's easy for me to do. I'm not paying him. But this is what they have to try. And they drafted this young man. Everything I've heard is he's looked the part from the summer through practices now. And I think it will make them a little more difficult to defend. And again, it might be too little too late. but they'd be real fools not to start looking at him now.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I think, as you alluded to, the Achilles to me 100% has to do with, you know, his limitations here. I don't think they're calling the game the way they would traditionally call it. You can't even call the play action boot stuff because he can't hit the landmark quick enough. I mean, he clearly
is limited.
Yeah, it's not good. JLC, I'll let you go on this, my friend. We burned up 15 minutes very quickly. I appreciate you as always.
My pleasure.
Dan Orlovsky tweeted this earlier today, and I'm interested by it, and it plays into this Cousins scenario. What would you rather have, or what do you think an organization would rather have? Brock Purdy at $52-plus million a year, Sam Darnold at $52-plus million a year, or Kirk Cousins at $27.5 million?
Well, I think – I didn't see that tweet, but, I mean, those are all quarterbacks with ties to Kyle Shanahan, his buddy. Interesting. What do I think? Well, look, so that's what I think's going on there, because it's been an open secret in the NFL that, you know, this Cousins thing wasn't going to be for long, even if he played well, because of how high they took Penix, and that Kyle Shanahan might think, I don't need to pay Brock Purdy $55 million a year to do this. And I think it's going so poorly in Atlanta that you're going to get the Falcons to subsidize some of that contract to help pay him. So you might be getting Cousins even cheaper than that. They might pay Purdy. I mean, they might. Again, I've written about this extensively and taken people's temperatures on it who I trust who've done well with quarterbacks in the past on this since, you know, this time a year ago. They wouldn't pay Purdy. Not what it's going to cost. If you're Brock Purdy, there's no way you're taking anything less than Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa. Like, there's no chance. You're gonna want more.
Probably your numbers stack up more. Well against them.
No, and I mean, if you want to talk playoffs, this kid's been to a Super Bowl. Those guys, you know, Lawrence had that one, you know, 2 weeks where he played well, but the end of that season and then a couple of playoff games, but nothing like what Purdy's done. So I don't know, man. It's a tricky wicket. He's done interesting things at the quarterback position before. People just pretend that whole Trey Lance thing didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Like, crazy things have happened in this league. Look, Darnold's going to get that franchise tag.
Yeah.
They're not going to let him walk. So could he get Cousins for nothing and trade Brock Purdy for a ton and try to keep that thing crazy glued together for another year or two and win? I mean, maybe the ship's already sailed because of all the other issues there with, you know, guys' age and guys' lack of productivity and guys' injuries. But I don't know, man. Shanahan's had a thing for Cousins for a long time. And
yeah.
Cousins has a no trade, so he's not going to go anywhere he doesn't want to go. And I can tell you, he would absolutely bleeping-lutely love a reunion with Kyle Shanahan. So it could be an interesting offseason subplot.
The side of the NFL continues to be the money-making machine that they are, JLC. Storylines out the wazoo. I appreciate you as always, my brother. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure. Have a great evening. Thank you.
That is Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, final hour of power. We'll go around the NFL. Brian Callahan going off on reporters. Kirk Cousins replaced by Michael Penix. And Dan Orlovsky with some insight on Mike Vrabel and Caleb Williams next. Final hour of power coming up here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willigham. Take you up to 10 o'clock. Let's take a spin around the NFL real quick while we have the opportunity to. It's been a crazy week. Quarterbacks have been benched. But we'll get to a quarterback situation that is starting to work itself out. The New York Giants lost again Sunday at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens, 35-14. They weren't really competitive at all. In that contest, if we've got it ready, here is Giants head coach Brian Daboll responding to a report of ownership deciding to keep the GM and fire him.
There's a report that John Mara could end up asking Joe to hire a new coach after this season. How do you react to that, and does that make it difficult when something like that comes out to focus on, you know, what you're doing?
No, I just had a good conversation with John 10 minutes ago.
About that?
No, not about that. Just normal conversation. We have good conversations every week.
How do you react to the suggestion that could happen?
Yeah, I just focus on the things I can control.
Do you have any conversations with ownership about beyond this year? Because I would think that could impact how you operate at this point.
I'd say we have a number of conversations about a lot of different things. I'll keep private.
Do you think you and Joe have enough separate responsibilities that it would be fair to blame one of you and not the other, or give you one credit and not the other?
Yeah, we're just getting ready here for the Falcons.
The New York media is pit bulls. For you to have the stones to ask that?
The claws are out.
I mean, that's crazy. I'll say this. I think Fat Brian Daboll was better suited to handle the tough questions ever since he's been on the shot. I mean, it's just not the same aura. It's just not. It's just not. Take a quick timeout. When we come back, our conversation with WSA9's Eric Flack giving us the latest on the Commanders potentially returning to RFK. It's next.